be here this morning, this afternoon. We always count it a blessing to be with you all. It's always great encouragement. And we do pray for Brother Long and his health, and Sister Long with the passing of her mom. We do uphold them in prayer. We thank you for the commendations, all that you do. We appreciate it very much and appreciate the messages that we've heard. I'd like to turn to the book of Ezekiel, the 11th chapter. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 11. I'd like to read verses 14 through verse 16. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord, unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Ezekiel, of course, ministered during Babylonian captivity. He did so as an exile to the captives. In 2 Kings 24, we have record of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invading the southern kingdom of Judah, carrying 10,000 people approximately between 500 and 800 miles away in the Babylon, while the others, of course, were left in Jerusalem to live amongst the ruin, to live amongst the rubble and the wreckage. We see that Ezekiel was one of those who was carried away into Babylon, and his ministry was to inspire, to strengthen those who had been taken from their homeland, those who had been taken from their loved ones, those who had been taken from their familiar surroundings into captivity. He was to inspire and strengthen them, and he was to do so by preaching God's word unto them. And of course, the book of Ezekiel contains the recorded messages of Ezekiel. Reading through the book, we see that the main theme of the messages was the greatness, the sovereignty of God, and how they needed the direct intervention of God in their lives. The theme of his message was that present judgment would be followed by future glory. In our text, we see that the Lord gave Ezekiel a message that he was to declare. Notice verse 14. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. And then in verse 16, Thus saith the Lord God. This particular message of Ezekiel continues through verse 21 here of chapter 11. Part of this message is what we want to read in verse 16. And that's where we'll focus upon this afternoon. And what we have here is a wonderful declaration of God's sufficiency, of His grace, of His mercy, of His love, His faithfulness. They are words of great comfort. They are words of great hope and assurance. And they're timeless words. They're for you and I today. Read again verse 16. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God Almighty, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, speaking of the captives, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them has a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. It is as if God is saying to these captives, there is always me, and you have me for this. And that's our subject this afternoon. There's always God, and we have Him for this. Whatever the this is, we have Him for this. We desire to be an encouragement to God's people. I pray that we would leave here with a stirring in our hearts, a greater love for the Lord, a greater reverence for God, a greater passion, a greater excitement for the Lord. First of all, consider the places and times of God's people. In verse 16, notice that twice we read the word although. Although occurs two times. Each time it is followed by an act of God. We read the words, although I have, God speaking. And we read that phrase two times. Although I have. And it speaks of God bringing about a circumstance. It says, although I have cast off among the heathen. And it says another time, and although I have scattered among the countries. Now we know that those two statements have reference to the Babylonian captivity of that God's people were experiencing at that very moment. They were experiencing that captivity because of the sin and rebellion against God. God had warned Israel in the book of Deuteronomy that if they sinned as a nation against God, that they would be scattered among the nations, that He would cast them among the heathen. And we see that this Babylonian captivity was the result of the nation's repeated rejection of God's message through His sent prophets. It was the continual neglect of God, the continual and blatant forsaking of God's way, their continual relegating God and dismissal of God from their thoughts and from their lives, and their continual replacement of God with human ideas and pagan philosophies, and putting more and more esteem upon fleshly and worldly matters, and increasingly busying themselves in the pursuit of the earthly rather than the spiritual, allowing the service of God to become a mere sideline, allowing themselves to become desensitized to the matters of God as a result of the sins of a nation. The saints of God now found themselves in Babylonian captivity. We find ourselves today in such circumstances. Now Babylon, of course, was a nation. As a nation, it had boundaries. It had government. It had laws. It had citizens. It had cities. It had towns. It had districts. But though it was a literal nation, it is also representative of a system. A system of secularism, a system of evil, a system of wickedness and vileness and abomination and idolatry, a system of blasphemy and immorality and perversion and obscenity and lewdness and heresy. It is a system representing the very spirit of Antichrist. So the words of our text are for Babylonian times. We live in Babylonian times. And we, like these Hebrew captives, are in a God-despising, self-indulgent, self-sufficient, secularist society and culture. And we, like these Babylonian or these Hebrew captives, are in a place, a time, and among a people with contrary thoughts and views to what God says. We, like these Hebrew captives, are surrounded by heathen worship. Everywhere they turn was heathen worship. Everywhere they turned, there were the idols of the heathen. Everywhere they went, there was heathen talk, heathen ways, heathen philosophies, heathen aspirations, and heathen pursuits. So it is today with you and I. We, like these Hebrew captives, are surrounded by and we're bombarded with the hatred and enmity toward God. Living in the very midst of the embodiment of evil, we live in a society and culture that revels in and that glamorizes and celebrates what God calls wicked. These Hebrew captives, just like they, we live in a society that is absolutely spellbound with what we would just simply call modern day sorcery. Captivated and drawn to the vileness of the times. Looking for answers. Looking for solutions. And that which is absolutely futile, useless, and empty. And that's the world that we live in. And our text is for Babylonian times. Now, though these two statements in verse 16, cast far off among the heathen, scattered among the countries, though they have reference to Babylonian captivity, they are also indicative of several facts regarding the places, the situations, and the circumstances that God's people often find themselves in. No doubt this was a time of difficulty. No doubt it was a time of crisis, a time of great strain, a time of struggle, a time of hassle and stress, and inconvenience, trouble, and just agitation. Again, read those words. Cast off far among the heathen. Scattered among the countries. This speaks of places and times of adversaries, hostility, antagonism. It speaks of times of defeat. It speaks of times of persecution. It speaks of times of loneliness. It speaks of times of disappointment, displeasure, and dissatisfaction. These who were carried away into Babylon, this is not what they had envisioned for their life. And many times things happen in our life and it's not what we had envisioned. It's not what we had planned for. It's not what we would have chosen. And these words of verse 16 are for all times, for all places. So we want to look this afternoon at verse 16. First of all, realize that wherever we are, whatever our place, whatever our circumstances, they have absolutely no effect upon the person of God. Notice the words, although. Again, the word occurs two times. It conveys the idea of even though, or in spite of. So, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, and notice, it is although I have. That's God speaking. Although I have. So no matter what follows, although, God is the authority. And God is in control. So twice we have those words although I have. But then notice what follows. Yet. Although I have, yet. That conveys the idea of nevertheless, notwithstanding, or however. It changes everything. Although I have, yet. Whatever the place, whatever the time, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance that follows, although. And every one of us here today can put something behind that word, although. But whatever follows, although, there is a yet. There is a nevertheless, a notwithstanding, a however concerning God. Again, hear Him say, although. Now insert whatever you can imagine after that word, although. And now read the next phrase. Yet will I be. I love those words. Yet will I be. Four words. Yet will I be. Whatever your although is, yet will I be. Whatever our place and time, God will be. And God will never be less than who He is. Never. Nothing can change that. No although can change that. Whatever is involved in your place and time, and no matter how long you have been there, hear God say, although, yet will I be. Yet will I be the Most High. Yet will I be the Almighty One, the All-Knowing One, the Sovereign One, the Sustainer, the Faithful, the All-Sufficient One, who has grace for every situation. Although yet will I be the Merciful One, the Unchanging One. Thanks be unto God, for yet will I be. Again, whatever is contained in although, hear God say, yet will I be. Carry those words with you. May those words be written upon our hearts. Yet will I be. But notice, these words are personal. It says, yet will I be to them. Now it's personal. It's not just although, and put whatever you can on the other side of although, yet will I be. That's a glorious truth, but it goes beyond that. It's, yet will I be to them. Now, the them is referring to those who are far off among the heathen. It's referring to those who've been scattered among the countries. Yet will I be to. That's a preposition that links God to them. It is a preposition that links God to us. In spite of where we might be, in spite of our circumstances, God will continue to be who He is and will continue to be who He is to us. Will continue to be who He is to us. Although you fall, yet will I be the one who can lift you up. That's always true. There'll never be a time when that's not true. Although you sin, yet will I be the one who forgives. Although you may become so weak that you can't go on, Yet will I be the one who can strengthen you. Yet will I be the one who is able. Although you may wander far from God, yet will I be the one who can bring you back. Yet will I be the one who knows the way. Although you and I may be paralyzed with fear, yet will I be the one who can give you courage. Although you may face insurmountable giants, yet will I be the one who is greater than any giant you'll ever face. It's always true. Yet will I be. Yet will I be. Although you may become confused, yet will I be the one who can guide you through all the mazes of life. And although you may face the onslaught from the enemy, yet will I be the one who can shield you. Although you may be overwhelmed with problems, yet will I be the solution to all your problems. That's always so. Yet will I be. Although you may be faced with innumerable needs, yet will I be the one who can provide your needs. Although you may be weighted down, yet will I be the one who can carry the load and can carry you. Although you may be in the midst of a fierce storm, yet will I be the one who can calm your storm. And if I don't calm your storm, yet will I be the one who can calm your heart in the storm. Although, yet will I be. Oh, how we need to hear God say those words. In other words, I'll always be who I am, and you have me. Whatever your although is, I'm who I am, and you have me. Now notice also, what the Lord says here is real. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. A sanctuary is something that is actual. It's not something that we imagine. A sanctuary is a special place. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. That is, yet will I be to them, my people, a very special place. A sanctuary is a set apart and distinct place from all that is ordinary. It is distinct from whatever follows, although. Yet will I be a little sanctuary. So hear God say, although, yet will I be to them a little sanctuary. Now think about a sanctuary. A sanctuary is an available place. Although, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. God is saying, although, yet will I be available to my people. The sanctuary is a place where you and I can enter. Yet will I be as a little sanctuary. It is a place where we can hide. It is a place of refuge. A sanctuary is a place of provision. It's a place of stillness and rest. That's what God is to us. It's a place of mercy. It's a place of cleansing. It's a place of revelation. It's a place of communion. A sanctuary, Psalm 91 and verse 1, it's a place where we can dwell. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High and shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Again, what God is saying in our text is, no matter what the circumstances, no matter where you are, I always am. And you have me for whatever the circumstances are. You have me in the circumstances. Now these words are all encompassing. Notice what it says again, verse 16. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. And then notice the very next word. In the countries where they shall come. They have been scattered. And the Lord says, yet will I be to them in those very places, those very circumstances. None of us know the places where we might have to come. None of us know the places where you and I might have to go. But we know this. Yet will I be to them in those places. I will be to them as a little sanctuary. So we don't know. We don't know where we're going to have to go. We don't know what we're going to have to experience in this life. But we do know this. God will be. And God will be who He is. And He will be who He is to you and I. We know that we've already experienced in our lives. And if we live long enough, there will be places of extreme and overwhelming difficulty. There will be places of crisis. There will be places that cause us great strain and tremendous struggle and stress and trouble. There will be places and times of relentless opposition. There will be places and times of defeat. And loneliness. And there will be places and times of sorrow. And there may even be places and times of apparent hopelessness. But listen to what God says. Yet will I be to them in those places. Wherever I am, there is always God. And He says to me, He says to you, in all of this, wherever we are, I am who I am, and you have me. Yet will I be to them in the countries where they come. Here we are today living in very perilous times. But hear God say, yet will I be to them. In. Within those words, we have light greater than the darkness. We might be in places of darkness. God will be greater light than it, all the darkness. In those words, we have healing greater than the hurt. We have strength greater than the weakness, and on we can go. We have joy greater than the sorrow, encouragement greater than the discouragement. We have all that in Him. Yet will I be to them. So put whatever you can imagine on the other side of although. And there is a God. On the other side of although, there is that yet will I be. On the other side, there is a God who can still part the waters. There is a God who still has the bread and the water that you and I need. There is a God who still knows the way through the wilderness. There is a God who can still sweeten the bitter waters. There is a God greater than any wall that any enemy may erect. There is a God who can still use the few and feeble. There is a God who still topples giants. There is a God who still can give increase and can still deliver and meet you in the fiery furnace. There is still a yet will I be. Wherever we are, yet will I be. Put whatever you will on the other side of although, and there is a God who is still a hiding place from the wind. There is still a God who is a covert from the tempest, rivers of water in a dry place, shadows, the shadow of a great rock in a dreary land. There is still a God who gives power to the faint. There is still a God who can open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. There is still a God who can make pools of water in the wilderness and dry land, springs of water. There is still a God who can hold your hand, whatever the although is. Yet will I be the God who can hold your hand and carry you and shepherd you and have green pastures for you and still waters for you and refuge for your soul and lead you in paths of right and walk with you through the valley of the shadow of doubt and comfort you and spread a table before you and anoint you till your cup runneth over. Oh, what a blessed future we have. No matter what happens, yet will I be. So in spite today, in spite of the mess that's out there, and there is a mess out there. Everywhere you go, there's a mess. Yet will I be. Yet will I be to His people. And out there are powerful enemy forces. And out there is hell's crowd. And out there are the enemies and the haters of God. Out there are those who are absolutely offended by God. And those who find God to be an irritation and a nuisance. And out there are many barriers. But we can go out there. We can go out there with hearts full of praise and assurance and courage and resolve and steadfastness and passion and on fire for God. Knowing that whatever's out there, He will be. God will be. And God will be to me. So read those words, although. Put whatever you want on the other side of although. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. And God bless the Lord.